countries.
Manuel Zelaya, you've talked about the movement of opposition by the people in your country. You've talked about what you would like the United Nations to do to step in and to investigate the corruption there. What would you like the United States and the Obama administration to do at this moment in the crisis your country is facing?
Bueno, tal vez no, Honduras no es una de las prioridades del presidente Obama.
Perhaps Honduras is not one of President Obama's priorities, but events in Latin America should draw the attention of the Democratic Party in the United States, which has President Obama at its helm. He came into office in 2008 and the coups began. The attempts to destabilize began. We recognize that President Obama has acknowledged the blockade of Cuba as a 55-year-old genocide, that instead of isolating Cuba, it had isolated the United States from Latin America. That was a very good gesture for Latin America. But we don't accept him supporting policies such as those that are unfolding in Honduras. Those of a repressive government, a government attacking public health institutions, attacks that have not been investigated, and this is just the tip of the iceberg of corruption. Social Security, the funds of the National Congress that have not been investigated, the funds of the Ministry of Finance and the Presidency that have not been investigated, everything that they used for their election campaign to stage a fraud and defeat Xiomara Castro, who was the favorite in opinion polls, and on Election Day, things came out the other way around because of the fraud they perpetrated.
Para montar un fraude y derrotar a Xiomara Castro, que era la favorita en las encuestas, y el día de las elecciones.
President Obama has not wanted to hear our peoples. He has turned a deaf ear on the cry of the people. First, we protested in the opposition. A few months ago, they physically removed me from the Congress, the National Congress, because our party mounted a peaceful protest. The military removed us, using tear gas in the Congress. They expelled us, beating us with batons, beating us into the street. This is the government that President Obama supports, a government that is repressive, a government that violates human rights, as has been shown by the very Inter-American Commission on Human Rights of the Organization of American States. It has shown this to be the case.
Ousted Honduran President Manuel Zelaya. To see the whole interview, go to democracynow.org. Special thanks to Charlie Roberts, Steve Martinez, Mike Burke, and our Spanish team, Igor Moreno, Clara Ibarra, and Andres Contreras. Happy birthday to Rob Young. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
That's right. This is Zabby from WUSB Stony Brook Radio. And all we want is some truth from these politicians. And we can get it by watching the Suffolk County Legislature on television, but they don't want to be on TV because they're hiding something from you. Well, hey, let's get together and demand that we get to see the Suffolk County Legislature on TV like we do every other level of government. Thank you so much for listening to Zabby's program Mondays, 1:30 p.m. till 2:30, A Woman's Perspective on Politics.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, Zabby, for that perspective. It is 6:01 here at WUSB Stony Brook. That's 90.1 FM megahertz, 90.1 megahertz FM on your radio dial and online at WUSB.FM. Please check us out there if you'd like to stream us. There's all kinds of options there and archives. So if you want to catch a show that you missed, maybe. So anyway, it's now 6:02, and that means it's time for Off the Wall. So enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
We're here, there, and everywhere. Welcome to Off the
Wall.
And this is Kyle. I'm joined by Emmanuel.
Good evening.
It is a good evening.
Well, it's starting to be a good evening anyway. It's sure is a hot day. Maybe the evening will be a little bit more pleasant. But yeah, we've been outside in it. We've been sweating and getting things done.
Haven't we?
I'm sorry if I sound a little perturbed. I was trying to connect to something on the university's amazing internet, which is down apparently, or at least it's down here. It's insane that we can't connect to the internet. So I'm using my phone and connecting over my phone's internet because that's more reliable than whatever gets piped into here, a major university. So yeah, it's a little perturbing.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, infrastructure in general is an ongoing thing, and it's part of the magic of community radio here at WUSB. So hopefully this will get fixed at some point. It's really useful to have information technology at your fingertips, especially in a place like a broadcast radio station.
Well, I got all the information I need, so I don't need the damn university anymore. Okay,
that's
because
right.
I've got the information I need from my phone. Thank you very much. Although I can complain about my phone too for a while, but that's another show. Europa League. You believe, you know, we talked about the FA Cup all of last year, right? We started in July and we finished in May. Well, guess what? The because of that, now we're talking about Europa League as a sequel to that. The team that won was Arsenal, and we're not following them into Europa League because they didn't go to Europa League. They went to Champions League because they won their league, and so winning the FA Cup didn't matter. And Aston Villa, the team that they defeated, also didn't go to Europa League because they changed the rules, and the number six team, I think, in our Premier League wound up going to Europa League, which was Southampton. So that's the team we're going to be following now because as a result of that game, Southampton made it to the Europa League.
Bravo.
Any questions on that? Because I'm only going to say it once. It's not that complicated. It might sound complicated, but it really isn't. Now, Europa League has already had two rounds, if you can believe that. They started in June. They are eager to go. All right, they've already had two qualifying rounds. Now, our team, Southampton, doesn't have to enter until the third round. They can take their time, and they have a beach in Southampton, too. It's not Southampton, Long Island, by the way. It's Southampton, England. And they were relaxing. They don't get to relax this weekend, though, because they have to show up and play against a team known as... how would you pronounce this, Kyle, this word? Vitesse? Well, they're a Dutch team. And the first leg of that game takes place this weekend.
Exciting.
They were founded 123 years ago, so they're a pretty old team.
Good for them.
Well, no, it's not good for them. We want them to lose. We want Southampton to win. But it's played in two legs. The first leg gets played on one side's home court, and then I think a week later they play it on the other side's home court, and then they add up the scores, and whoever has more points wins. And if it's a tie, then something else happens. I'm not exactly sure how they sort that out here. But that's the first you'll be hearing of the Europa League here.
Well, it's good that we're able to continue following this, and it's great. It's just a year ago then, huh?
Never ends.
Yeah, it does.
Never ends.
Does not.
Here in this country, we just have our little leagues, and at the end of the leagues, everybody goes to the playoffs, and I mean everybody goes to the playoffs, and then you have that, and then you have a champion, and we kid ourselves into saying they're the world champion, and then we do it all again the next year. But the rest of the world with football is just ridiculous. Just so many leagues, so many divisions, so many competitions, and then you have the international competitions as well. A lot of fun.
Yeah, and then there's Canadian football, which is a great league in and of itself.
Oh my god,
which is really what everybody focuses on because that's the only football there is.
Well, yeah, I guess so. You know, even in Canada, they follow American football, meaning, you know, the American football with the helmets and things. They follow those guys more than they follow their own countrymen doing the same thing with the CFL. I can't figure that league out because nobody there follows it. And, you know, I think maybe even regular football, soccer, that is, might be more popular. Who am I to say?
Yeah, I have the sense that people that follow the CFL don't get really treated, they don't get taken very seriously by their friends. Maybe there's some snickering that goes on if they're, you know, all fired up about a particular game or a particular matchup. I think other people maybe in the office give them a little bit of a, yeah, okay.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, for some reason, college football is huge in this country, even bigger than the NFL.
True, true. Yeah,
I don't really understand why. I mean, it's sport, it's athletics, it's all kind of, but why the relationship between colleges and football just escapes me. You don't see that with baseball. You don't see that virtually. We see it with basketball, but yeah, you don't see it with hockey, for instance.
Uh-huh. Right.
You have a tiered league system. In fact, there's a whole big piece that I think John Oliver did a few weeks ago about the NCAA and how corrupt they are and how they take advantage of students and make them work for free, basically. It's slave labor and all kinds of things like that. And I understand that we have a team, too. I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble, but boy, it's something. It is something else to behold. There's a lot of money, there's a lot of corruption, all kinds of things going on that I don't understand, but I do know it's big, it's huge, and for some reason college sports in that particular venue overshadows the professional sports. And and then you have the Canadian League, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know, does Canadian, is there such a thing as Canadian college football?
I believe there is. There has to be, right?
I've never heard of it. I've never heard of a single team.
Yeah, well, we'll have to do some research and maybe get some listeners to write in about it. So if you know anything about this, please let us know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just talking off the cuff here. I don't really know anything about that. I do know. I do know a lot of the Canadian teams. So if you say a city, I probably will be able to tell you the name of the team.
All right. Moose Jaw.
They don't have a team. No, you have to say the name of a city that has a team. Otherwise, yeah, it's...
Okay, well, I'll look into other team names. What else we got going on?
Nothing else as far as the world of sports goes.
That's great, though. That's a good update. I'm glad we're moving right along.
CFL League, by the way, CFL season is in full swing. They start early.
Yeah, I've seemed to recall when we were up there, we saw a lot of advertising and stuff like that.
Because they have the Grey Cup. I think it's in November. That's their version of the Super Bowl.
Oh, really? That's what it's called, the Grey Cup.
You get more people attending a game here at Stony Brook than care about that. But no, the thing is, I do care about it. I like to follow things like that. I like the alternatives. So, you know, if I seem like I'm making fun of it, well, yeah, I am. But, you know, I think it should be more on an even keel. I think we should be participating more on an international basis. But maybe not that particular sport, because so many people get badly injured, and it doesn't seem like a really smart sport to play. But that's just my opinion, as is most things I say. Okay, so what else is going on? We have the presidential election coming up in, 2 years or so, which is kind of like football, I guess.
I guess the primary would be in a year.
Yeah, well, the primaries start.
That's an important date to
look at. Don't they start
in
January? Maybe even before that. Iowa, for some reason, always gets to be first.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another thing I don't understand.
Electoral college system, yeah.
You could fill hours of radio time with things I don't understand. And that's another thing I don't understand is, why does Iowa always get to go first? And by doing so, they get to decide who the nominees will be. Because, okay, if somebody doesn't do well in Iowa, you know, We could do radio in Iowa, Kyle. We could do radio there.
We probably do.
And everybody in Iowa could hate us, hate our guts, curse us, burn effigies.
Yes.
All right. All sorts of things like that. We've seen it before, and it could happen there easily. But then we go to New York, and we're greeted by throngs of cheering people. We've seen that as well. Absolutely. Now, if we were presidential candidates, we would take that reaction in Iowa and apply that to the rest of the country and say, wow, this is how it's going to be. I better quit now. In other words, you have one bad day or one bad reaction, and that's going to be your future, so just quit now. It's basically telling people, don't keep trying. You know, if something doesn't work, then just give up. And that is how the primary system is. And not only is it like that, but it's like that in the same way every time. It's always Iowa. It's always, New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
Certain states. New York never comes first. We never get to decide. And what gets me angry even more than this is that I'm an independent voter. I'm not affiliated with any party because I don't get along well with groups. I really don't. I cannot subscribe to any one doctrine or one philosophy. I like to make up my own mind.
Or large spaces.
And I know that, you know, as far as strategically, yeah, it would make sense for me to say, okay, I might not agree with them, but I'm going to sign on to them. Just, you know, so I have more of a say, but I don't even believe in that. I don't think that's the right thing to do. But as a result of me being independent, I don't get to vote in the primaries. So I don't even get any say until November when everybody else, Iowa, New Hampshire, and the Democrats and Republicans have all narrowed it down. It's like, if we want to go back to football, it's like, I'm a member of the team. I'm as much a member of the team as anybody else, but I don't get to play until the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, no, that's a great way to describe
that
it.
That is not fair.
That's pretty good.
I should be playing all the time. I should be playing from preseason and regular season and the All-Star game and all that.
Well, or it's like you're the star player and you come in at the end of the game, it's already where it's at. You just have to deal with the score the way it is. You've been on the bench, you've been warming up, you're ready to go.
Well, it's nice
the game, they're already behind and you're coming in.
Call me the star player. I mean, I'll accept that. you know, I'll reluctantly accept that. But yeah, it's not fair. It's a stupid system. It's another stupid system.
Well, add it to the list.
We have a big list of stupid systems.
Indeed, yeah. So that will be something else because you'll have certainty around who the two candidates are. That's mm-hmm. how it works in the system. And then we'll have a good run several months or a year, right? A year after the primary.
And only two candidates. Two candidates in the end. Why is it always only two? Why can't we have six like other countries have?
Isn't that something? Yeah. And it will come down to that binary that we're known for here in this country. So, exciting stuff. And it is going to be a real fight for rhetoric. I like this stuff because mm-hmm. it is about the narrative. It is about the storytelling. It is about the platforms of the individual candidates themselves and the kind of team they're putting together.
Right.
All really integral stuff. And then you know, various other things, scandals, things come up in the months. You know, there's a lot of stuff dredged up. Mm-hmm. Then you have the whole onslaught of advertising. And money in politics. There's going to be a lot of fundraising.
And that's another thing. You know, you can only be a candidate if you can raise a huge amount of money. And that shouldn't have to be the case either. People should get free access to the airwaves. The airwaves are public, after all. And everybody who has something to say, and okay, you have to get a certain amount of people to back you to say, yes, this is a valid candidate. You get that. Doesn't cost you anything to get that. Then you have a certain amount of time on the air to voice your opinion, to show your platforms and get more people on your side and become more of a viable candidate that way. Again, not spending anything. And instead, it's this competition. That's why you hear people like Donald Trump, because they have billions of dollars to throw around. And all of a sudden, that voice becomes more legitimate because of the money, when in actuality, it's probably less legitimate because of the money. They have a very skewered sense of reality. They don't know what it's like to actually live in society and struggle to get by. You need people like that, but they're shut out. They have no say whatsoever because they're not billionaires, and the system just doesn't favor people like that.
Indeed, yeah. That's, I think, something we're going to have to grapple with, and we will be looking at as an electorate, and I think the best way to think about this is to look at the majority, because there was a majority, right, in 2008. There were large amounts of people engaged in the political process who went one way or the other, mm-hmm. and what they're going to be looking at, I think, is a lot more than what is popular in the media and what is what the narrative, what the rhetoric coming from that sort of advertising, because people know, and people know what attack ads are about. I think we're very, the average voter is pretty savvy to the kind of messaging that goes on in the run-ups and the concept of people trying to capture that dialogue and control mm-hmm. the conversation. So I think that that majority itself is it's getting younger, it's getting more diverse, and the tolerance for for candidates that aren't, that don't have as much depth, if I could say, I think is going to be very low. And I'm encouraged. I think that people will start having to open up the conversation and really talk about the issues themselves and what exactly they're going to bring to the table and bring to all of our future here that we've seen a lot of change and progress on in the last couple of years.
We have. And that's a lot of people have trouble acknowledging that.
Yes.
That we seem to be divided between people who are so,
jaded.
Well, yeah, the jaded people too, but there are the people that are simply
sure.
Horrified that all of this has happened. All right, horrified that gay marriage is now legal. Horrified that marijuana is becoming legal throughout the country. Horrified that we're speaking to Cuba again, and horrified that we're actually stopping wars and not invading other countries in the same way. I mean, we still are, obviously, but in the same way that we were under Bush. Things have changed. But then you have the other half of people who refuse to acknowledge that these things are happening because, well, Obama is just as bad. He's doing all these things. And there is no question that there are bad things happening. There's the surveillance. There are the drones. There's all kinds of things that you can point to. But I maintain that no matter who you put in that office, these things are going to continue because that is the nature of our system. And, you know, picture a giant cruise ship. I don't know, Kyle, if you've ever steered a cruise ship.
Not recently,
it's
familiar.
Awkward. It's kind of awkward. I think the parallel of America to a cruise ship is an apt one. And I'll tell you why. It's big, it's bulky, it's slow moving, and it's surrounded by a lot of water. All right, and here you are, you're steering in a particular direction, and you want to go in a different direction. You want to go 90 degrees port side. I don't even know if that's right.
That's a full turn. That's a full...
It's like a full turn.
Yeah, yeah,
you better
yeah.
know what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
All right, now, here's the thing. You get, Kyle, you get behind the what do you call it? It's not a steering wheel. What is that?
Helm.
All right, behind the helm of this cruise ship, right? And we say, Kyle, we've elected you. Turn this damn ship.
On a dime.
All right, so 5 minutes later, we're not going the direction that we're supposed to be going yet. And we're very angry at you because you have not yet gotten the ship to go 90 degrees port side. It
That's
takes
good.
Time.
Yeah.
It takes time to make these movements. And if you do it all at once, everybody's going to fall overboard and they're going to be angry at you. All right. Check in. And I don't know how long it takes to turn a cruise ship in all honesty.
Depends on if there's a tugboat.
But we're not talking the same amount of time as it is to turn a country around. It does take time. So even if Obama, and I don't know, you know, I can't get inside his head, but even if he wanted all the things that most of us want, people that of our ilk, it would take him a lot of time to steer things in that direction to get that to happen. And I don't think he wants all the same things that we want. But, you know, isn't it good enough that he wants some of the things that we want?
Yeah.
We look at what's been accomplished, and I just feel like we're on more of an adult level than we were in 2000 and 2004.
Aren't we, though?
It just feels like, okay, at least now we're talking. We might disagree, but we're having an intelligent conversation. And, you know, I feel embarrassed to say it in front of people that sometimes I feel proud. You know, I hear him talking, and I say, wow, I'm proud. He's our president. He's saying some enlightened things, some... you know, rational things. And you can't say that in front of other people because that makes you a traitor. That makes you somebody who doesn't see the entire picture. And the thing to realize is that you will never get somebody that agrees with you 100%. And I just feel there are too many people that will not support someone unless they agree with 100% of what they do. I see the same thing with Bernie Sanders now. Bernie Sanders, socialist candidate from Vermont, running for president against Hillary Clinton. Not socialist enough, I'm hearing now, from people that are also socialist or people that are also leftist. Already it started that, he's going to be exactly the same as all the others. There are certain people who will never be happy unless they get everything they want. It's like kindergarten. It really is. And we have to be a bit more mature than that. Healthcare, we talk about healthcare a lot. And it's long been my position that if these people that wanted 100% of everything, if they had simply backed the idea of a single payer, you know, if they had been vocally supportive of the idea of healthcare, instead of saying, I'm not going to support him because he didn't do this that I wanted him to do, regardless of the fact that he was trying to do something that you did agree with, That's why we don't have health care in this country right now. And I really believe we don't have health care. Yeah, we might have the Affordable Health Care Act, but in reality, when you compare it to countries like England and Canada, we don't have health care because we have to pay a premium every month. We have to pay a deductible before anything kicks in. We have to pay a copay every time we see a doctor, and then we have to pay a coinsurance after it starts kicking in. It's ridiculous what we wind up spending. And if you compare dollar for dollar what we have to do compared to what other civilized countries have to do, you'll be shocked by the difference. We could have had something like that if people, and I'm convinced the majority of people wanted this, if they had stood up and said, yeah, these right-wing lunatics that don't want us to have health care are the minority. But we never got that.
Yeah, definitely. And there is a huge difference with like itemized costs and the way things are billed out. And I think we have to also, I think what you're saying is, and this is something I try to keep in mind a lot, is that democracy, these administrations, these leaders are approximations of the ideal. They are approximations of what we in our heads have as an ideal. And I think to praise openly someone that has done a good job, that has brought a lot of issues to the forefront of the conversation, to political consciousness and social consciousness, I think it is not to do so without thinking critically. I think you can still be very critical and have that analysis of them and still be complimentary and be positive about what has occurred.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you read 2600, the hacker magazine.
I'm familiar with it.
The people there gave a shout-out. I don't know if you saw this. They gave a shout-out to Rand Paul, of all people.
I think
I know what was going through their heads.
Okay.
Because what Rand Paul was doing a short time ago was speaking out against surveillance, against government surveillance of people. He was the only one that had the guts to do it.
Yeah, it felt like the process was alive for a minute there.
This guy was a super right wing. He's from Kentucky. All these elements that, you know, people like you and I would not agree with. But in that particular case, and I commend the people at 2600 for being strong enough to do this, sometimes people you disagree with on a number of matters, you agree with on one, and that counts. You should ally yourself with those people at that time and fight them viciously afterwards when something else comes up. But you will win. You will win those battles then if you know to join up, and you become stronger that way. It's not that hard. But it does take a level of maturity, I think.
Yeah, you need to be able to have your reservations, but put them aside and cooperate.
I don't think there's anything I could ally myself with Donald Trump, though. I've tried to think of something I agree with him on. Can you think of a single thing? I mean, he gave out Lindsey Graham's cell phone number. That was kind of funny. I called it. Voicemail was full, but it's hilarious to watch the media bleep out the number, even though the number is out. I tweeted it, by the way. I tweeted his number, but it was already too late. He had to get a new phone number.
What happens when Donald Trump's number gets tweeted?
Well, that's what I'm going to ask people tonight. Someone out there must have Donald Trump's cell phone number. I know you're probably living in mortal fear of giving it out yourself. Give it to me, and I will give it out, and I'll be the one subjected to Donald Trump's rage, something I've always wanted.
Ew.
Well, he's angry at a lot of people, you know? I just figured, why not spread it around a little bit? What a character. I mean, but the thing is, the Huffington Post said, we're not going to cover this guy in our political pages anymore. We're only going to cover him in entertainment because it's not politics. Unfortunately, though, I agree with them, but unfortunately, it's no longer the case. He's number one with the Republicans. That makes it a political issue. It's sort of the line between entertainment and politics is almost invisible now. But that says something about our culture. It says something really unfortunate about our culture when we should certainly study it. But the guy doesn't really know anything about politics or running a country or any of that. But I guess this is how we find out, by listening to him speak. And I'm all for letting him speak. I want to see him be part of the debate. But I want to see a lot of people be part of these debates as well.
Yeah. It should be entertaining, definitely, in so far as what the Huffington Post's position is and, you know, what they're saying. And I would just say that business or perceived business acumen is not a proxy, not a replacement for actual skill. And I think that that is going to become very evident. And I really don't think that he has anyone intelligent around him.
When is it going to become evident, Kyle? I mean, I've been waiting for that to become evident for a while, and it just doesn't seem to ever happen. It's like waiting for answers on Lost. You know, every week you wait and you think something's going to happen that will reveal things, and it's just next week, tune in and learn some more and see what Donald Trump says next time around. And I get kind of tired of it after a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see when whatever saboteurs around him decide to become active.
Have you heard of House Resolution 1940?
Vaguely, no.
It's called the Respect State Marijuana Laws Act of 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this bill was assigned to a congressional committee April 22nd, 2015, which will consider it before possibly sending it on to the House or Senate as a whole. I've been watching this bill for a while, and it's looks like it might actually be getting somewhere.
Basically, this keeps states' choices to allow recreational pot use. It keeps them intact and wholly the federal government cannot usurp the state's declared right. Is that an accurate assessment of this?
I'll read the interpretation that came from this website, the antimedia.org.
Okay.
By removing a notorious legal contradiction, this legislation would give precedence to state marijuana laws, making federal enforcement a thing of the past in states where medical and recreational weed are illegal. Now, they describe the brevity here as astonishing, and it is rather astonishing. The name of the bill pretty much says it all. Without the obligatory title pomp, it would struggle to take up a single page. The legislation is capable of ending perhaps the most contentious provision in the ubiquitous war on drugs. Simply titled the Respect Safe Marijuana Laws Act of 2015, the bill was introduced by Representative Dana Rohrabacher. It has incredible potential for a substantial reform that makes its passage of paramount importance. Basically, this is something that I think more and more representatives will sign on to, mm-hmm. hopefully.
Yes.
Because it just basically, it stops a lot of the nonsense. Right now you have situations in various states where marijuana has been, recreational marijuana is now legal, but hands are tied. Like, you can't use banks. You know,
it's
a cash-only business.
Correct.
It makes it really, really hard.
Because of federal laws and then...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they kind of...
At odds.
They're at loggerheads against each other.
And a lot of states, some of them, especially like Colorado, are surrounded by states that perhaps are raising concerns about cross-border traffic and trafficking of narcotics or their enforcement then has to compensate for the rise in traffic and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that. And
it also has a tremendous effect on people who have been in prison.
Yes.
For crimes that are no longer crimes. Imagine the prison population being dramatically affected by no longer imprisoning people whose only crime was possession or production of marijuana, something that's relatively harmless now in the eyes of many, and less people would be imprisoned in the future as a result of this. It could change so much.
Yeah,
this simple bill could change so much.
The argument also then would be that those people, if they could get records expunged, if they could be released from prison, if they could start anew, with sort of a different light on their past transgressions, they would be able to participate in the economy and not be sort of tainted with mm-hmm. this kind of record and be filling the jails. And also the police forces and local authorities around the nation, local, maybe federal agencies as well, would be a lot less burdened with what a lot of people in our society are starting to look at as completely petty crimes, really silly stuff.
Lives have been ruined as a result of
ruined.
This, especially
yeah.
poorer people, especially black people.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous when you look at the usage of pot. It's pretty much the same in the white and black communities. But in the black communities, the prosecution rate is so much higher,
yeah.
and so many people have been sent away for things that would not even be a big deal.
And that's the evidence. That's what people are talking about when they're talking about privilege and your,
yes.
Perhaps if you are not of color and you are going through life saying, well, I don't really understand how this affects me. Well, this is how it affects you. It is you continue to think you live in a very white community, because everyone else is being sort of wrapped up in this war, as it were. Uh-huh. And it ought not to be one, and it ought not to be the case that your community's diversity suffers and other people's lives suffer just because of social prejudice and so on.
Right. I mean, it's used as a foot in the door,
yes,
to getting people prosecuted. It's like, you have some weed on you, okay, now you're in the system. Whereas if this bill were to pass in those states where it is now considered acceptable, then that would not be a foot in the door, and there'd be a lot less people being imprisoned for nothing. And financially too, a lot of people are concerned with the numbers. How much money do you think was raised in Colorado alone during the first year of legal weed? Talking about a tax revenue, licensing revenue, you want to give a wild guess? Or
$50 million.
That's very good. $60 million. That's all very right. Good, Kyle. I don't know how you knew that. So they expected it to be $100 million, so it was less than that. But I'm sure it'll go up. But imagine the $145 million that Colorado had been spending to enforce cannabis laws. That's according to a 2010 Harvard study. I would add the $145 million as money they're no longer spending,
right?
And then throw the $60 million on top of that, and you got $200 million extra bucks floating around there.
Maybe throw out education.
Sure, absolutely, and all kinds of other things. So anyway, it's HR 1940. Pay attention to it. Watch C-SPAN. Call your representatives. Get them to sign on to this. This is how countries change, and we've seen a lot of change in our country in the last few months alone, and this is what happens when you have a president who doesn't have to worry about re-election, who can actually do some things, who's fed up with Congress not cooperating. Isn't it weird that the Republicans have gained control of the Senate and the House, and they are just losing all these battles now? It's kind of weird, because the first couple of years of Obama, the Democrats were in control of Congress, and they couldn't seem to get anything done because of the Republicans. Now, somehow, in a weird way, it's the opposite. It feels good. It feels like, wow, we're actually making progress. But we need to appreciate that, acknowledge that, and keep pushing on. Because if we ignore it and pretend it's not happening, before you know it, it's going to be another Reagan era of setbacks and conservatism out of fear of all this change and unusual looking people in control. So I think our country has rounded a corner that it's not going to go back on. It's really up to us, though.
I totally concur, and I would add, it's probably a lesser issue, but also in cannabis news, I definitely think more needs to be done as far as looking at. I mean, we've talked about infrastructure too in the past as something that we're advocates of improving, and definitely we follow a lot of legislation around that. And the Industrial Hemp Act is something that has been in committee for a while and is also worth looking at. It has a lot of competition with textiles like cotton and other industries, but it is a useful on the industrial scale, and I think that is being overlooked in a lot of these recreational use things. I've seen it change the last couple of years in Washington, and I'm sort of looking at it, but this is one thing I think that ought to change and that has not changed fast enough. We're rushing, and maybe the gold green rush, and there's a lot of characterizations of these places thriving and a huge, having huge booms with a recreational scale, but I think that is it's really only a small part of cannabis being treated a lot more like a feedstock and a normal plant than instead of Schedule I drugs. So that's also in the cannabis legislation news, something to look at. The Industrial Hemp Act, I don't know exactly what it's called, what number it is. I can't remember.
And that's been around forever. It never seems to go anywhere.
Yeah, it hasn't
moved.
That might
change it's taken
different forms. I would really like to see it move. I know Ron Wyden from Oregon has had put it to... Well, it's in committee now. I think he put it on the docket or however that works. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's HR like 2005 or 2015. I don't know exactly what it is, but we'll talk more about this kind of stuff. And it is really the crux of what's going on, is like a monumental shift in a, like kind of a grown up attitude toward a lot of these issues. And, and the ripple of those issues having a different consequence and effect on the society really will be, I think, a good thing and a profound boon to Obama's legacy. So
grown up that the rest of the world actually looks to us sometimes and says, wow, okay, maybe we can learn from that and do a better job ourselves. Maybe countries in Europe will look to the United States and say, hey, we can be a little bit more liberal on weed. And you're giving credit to Obama, and that's fine. But Obama was opposed to this when he first got into office.
That's true.
And he was opposed to gay marriage when he first got into office as well. He has changed, and any politician will change depending on what the people say. And that goes for your local representatives as well as presidents and vice presidents and all of that.
If it was Bush's tenure, I would give him credit too.
It's still his legacy. It's still something that will be associated with him. And yeah, he could basically fight this tooth and nail, but he's seen the light, and he's not going to. And that's a credit I think he does deserve. But the people deserve the credit for actually moving this forward and making the change. And it just goes to show, when you do that, you have the power to actually change the direction your country goes in. Those people in Washington and Colorado who spearheaded the legal marijuana movement, they deserve the majority of credit for steering the country in a different direction, as do gay activists who have gotten gay marriage to be legalized after so many years. There are just so many different struggles as well. Are we going
it's
into
a lot
delay?
Of a lot of perseverance?
You're
going
to put us in delay without any? Okay, you want to put?
Would you like
channel,
to? I
turned that channel down before number 8 to the left there. Yes. Okay. We're going into
would
delay.
Like, yeah, let's take some
you
phone
want
calls.
To take some phone calls. 631-632-6901.
Hi, this is Wanda Jackson. We're all rocking and rolling on WSB Stony Brook. Stay tuned.
Hi, and we're
Good. You know, last week, I got to say, last week we got letters from people that said, wow, that was the smoothest transition to delay ever. And I think it was true tonight as well. I think we arrived in delay land really smoothly.
The workshop helped. The workshop
helped. Series of workshops, actually. Okay, so all we need now are phone calls.
Yes, 631-632-6901. If you're on campus, 26901. And if you're everywhere else, maybe at a 1. You could maybe do 10-digit dialing 631-632-6901, but I would do 1-631-632-6901.
You know what really annoyed me today? You might have heard me cussing out a machine earlier today, and you might have thought nothing of it. But in this particular case, it was my phone, and I've had this phone for years. I don't know why I never noticed this before. It has caller ID on it. And if you pick up the phone and you see the number, you're looking at who called at a particular time, you pick up the phone, it automatically dials that number, calls
sure.
the person back.
Uh-huh.
Well, wouldn't you know, caller ID displays the 10-digit number, doesn't display the one in front of it. So when I pick up the phone to call the person back, I get scolded by Verizon saying, you must dial a one first. They didn't think to program the one into the caller ID display so I could call anybody back who calls me outside the area code. That just annoyed the hell out of me. I'm sorry.
Hey, you're on Off the Wall. How's it going? Go ahead.
What, are they talking to a tin can? Is anybody there?
Hopefully it was clean. 631-632-6901.
A clean tin can? Did they hang up? Are they gone?
They said something. There was an utterance.
I just heard a single half a syllable.
Yes.
Really? Okay.
If you'd like to utter something.
Yeah, utter it cleanly, folks. You know, when people used to...
A clean utterance.
Shout at us in the past, you could hear what they were saying because they used landlines.
Yeah. So please call us. We're here. You can also write us OTW at 2600.com. That's OTW at symbol 2600.com. OTW at 2600.com. We'll read your letter and maybe even prepare a little response on air.
Not enough people write to us. I'll admit that. And the reason for that is because people don't write anymore. People don't write letters. They don't write paragraphs. They don't write sentences. They write shorthand. Come on, folks. Our listeners can do better than that.
WSB, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm pretty well. How's it going?
I can hear this person.
Loving living on Long Island, man.
Where are you calling from?
Beautiful. Can't complain.
Where are you calling from?
Patrick.
Oh, you got any comments for us?
I just can't believe how beautiful it is out here on Long Island.
It's pretty beautiful. Yes, I agree.
Thanks for sharing. Hey, you're on Off the Wall.
Wow.
Hello?
Hey, are you on a road by any chance?
Well, are you flying an airplane?
I'm on the road.
All right. You sound like you're being rocketed into suborbital spaceflight.
It sounds like you're literally tied underneath a truck on the road right now. Are you calling us? Wow.
Yes. I would like to talk about, like, Obama's legacy and all that.
Go ahead.
I know that he's trying to get this marijuana law passed, and he got the gay marriage passed. But I think to make me really happy if he, like, pulls down some of the bases around the world.
Yes, yes. What is it? Over 40 American bases stationed in all kinds of different countries around the world. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, I think there's actually even more of them.
Okay, more than 40. Okay, yeah. I guess there's a firm number we could look up probably. What do you know about that? And is there a movement to change that?
I actually heard Zabby talk about, like, trying to close down those bases.
Sure. Yeah.
Earlier.
Very cool.
What do you think? Do you think he will do something like that? Obama, I mean.
Well, Obama? Well, no, because think of it as a politician, right? A politician saying, "Okay, I want to close a base that employs military." He's going to get all kinds of opposition for that unless there's a groundswell of support for closing the base from either people here or people who live in that particular country. Now, if we can focus on one of those bases in particular where that's the case, maybe, say, Okinawa in Japan, where a lot of people want that closed, maybe there's a chance then for that. But to say we want to close 40 bases, that's not realistic.
Yeah, you have to look at the symbolism in specific strategic places. And there is some strategy here with a lot of these parts of the world. There's, quote, hotspots and other things to consider. But you absolutely have a point, and I think there are a lot of people that concur with you.
Yes. Well, hopefully the next president will close down the base.
Yeah, well, I think we should talk about it and maybe come up with a top five.
Who do you think is the best candidate so far? Any ideas?
What in the Republican or the Democrat?
Any party, really, at this point.
You can make up a party.
I'll just say if Hillary gets into the Democratic Party, I would probably actually go for AC Ventura. just something other than the Democratic or Republican parties.
All right, all right. Well, hey, thanks for sharing, and drive carefully out there.
I will. Wait, what? Did I say... I said AC Ventura or Jesse Ventura? No, it's Jesse Ventura.
Ah! Well, Ace Ventura, that's pretty funny.
At this point, it doesn't really make that much of a difference, but...
Yeah, he'd probably be a strong runner. Hey, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Likewise.
Kyle, let me give you a little bit of advice here. Avoid... Channel 2 there, you see Channel 2?
Yeah, I know.
Turn that up, just so people can hear that.
Yes.
Why don't you hear it now? I guess you have to have the phone up. But yeah. If you touch that, whenever somebody's on there, you hear all the static, and I would just keep it up at a certain level.
Hey, speaking of someone on there.
All right.
Hi, you're on WUSB. It's Off the Wall.
Hey, I'd say Trump for president. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's it? Now, who is that again? How do you spell it?
Okay, well, thanks for that opinion.
The businessman. He's going to make this country flow.
Oh, good. All right, so businessman, that's all we need. All right, hey, where are you calling from?
United States.
All right.
Well, bless you. All right, have a great night.
It's about as specific as we can expect from a Trump supporter.
That's right. All right. 631-632-6901.
People say for the shock value. They say, I support Trump, and they expect that to somehow make you bow down and respect.
Well, he's got his opinion. Maybe he knows something about his business practices. And
convince me. Say something that will make me say, okay, you might have a point on that, but there's nothing so
maybe
far.
Maybe it is yet to be revealed, and there will be a big announcement when we will all understand.
I just, it bothers me that we're talking about it because I think it's a big waste of time. I think the guy is a real blowhard. But unfortunately, he's in the headlines. And that's what people are talking about. And it's the worlds have collided. And now this reality TV nightmare is part of our presidential election campaign. And it's just... it's sad and pathetic. We need something better.
It is, I think, dangerous that people could be dismissive and actually not counterpoise his hot air machine with real actual structured debate and opening up these issues instead of his little tagline thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be critical, because if we do overlook this, the worst nightmare scenario in a lot of people's minds could very well be a reality. So that's definitely something to pay attention to. Don't dismiss people, especially if they're leading like this. But remember that it is very, very early days.
Are you saying there's actually a possibility Trump could become president?
I'm saying if we sit around and act as though he's not there and that there aren't people that need to maybe to look at the issues and be enlightened by some of the other options, that mm-hmm. we could have a scary scenario. We've had such leaders in the past, as worthy leaders in the past.
Interesting. Well, you know, I just every day I wonder how much is reality and how much is fiction, and it just doesn't seem to matter anymore. It's sad. 631-632-6901. We only have a couple minutes left if you want to call.
We'd be happy to hear you.
Off the wall and be a part of this conversation. Throw your 2 cents in.
Yes.
Maybe throw your hat in the ring, you know? Why don't you become a candidate, too?
Me, personally, you'd like me to
run.
No,
I was pointing at the phone, not you. I wouldn't wish that on you.
Had a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
I'm a little busy right now. But absolutely, 631-632-6901. That's 26901 if you're on campus. You could also write us a nice letter. People don't write enough. I would love to read a well-thought-out document. So please email us if you'd like, otw@2600.com.
I would like to read something that's just shoot from the hip words, stream of consciousness. You don't have to think it out that much. Just whatever you're feeling right now, put pen to paper or type some keys on your keypad and
blather, and just vitriol, autocomplete, whatever you want.
Why not? You know, what have you lost? And a little bit of you becomes immortalized that way.
That's true.
631-632-6901 or otw@2600.com.
No, we have no calls on the board.
Is that all that Long Island has to say? Or that world, actually, because we are getting out to the world. We know that.
WUSB.FM is where you can stream this show and a lot of other good shows. And the archive. Check out the archive. If you miss something, if you hear about a show on another show, whatever the case, you can always go back and take a look, stream whatever you like, and catch up on a bunch of programs if you've heard they were good.
Well, we only have about 30 more seconds to take a phone call. So if a call comes in the next 30 seconds, to 631-632-6901, we'll take it. But if one does not come in, then we will leave delay, and this time we'll try not to step on ourselves as we leave delay, and then we'll be almost finished for the night.
That's right. We'll be almost finished for the night, and we'll have taken your call. So please call us. 631-632-6901. That's 26901. If you're at Stony Brook, this is WUSB.
In Stony Brook. I see Finn is already at the door with the forklift of all the records that he brings in.
No, that's a pitchfork.
Oh, okay. Well, I mix them up sometimes.
Okay,
so now the question has to be raised, Kyle. Is the phone ringing or is it not ringing?
And now it's
zero calls on the board.
Well, then we must did it again. I'm not stepping on me. You see, you got to wait for us to say something to finish talking before we can talk again live. Otherwise,
and someone's calling now.
Two of us, and people always call after we go back
Why
into.
Why do you do that?
Because people in the live world are more prone to call than people in the delay world. I've noticed that.
I'll also give it to you. If you're calling in from the stream, it's probably like 2 minutes delay. I think it's a little bit of a delay on
that's
the stream.
True.
The online crowd could be getting a
you
little
do
bit
have
later.
A handicap if We're you're listening online, but you know what, we live here in the live world, and there's not much we can do about that.
It's true. Hey, I think we got to run.
Don't forget to root for Southampton in the Europa Cup third round qualifying this. I think it's Saturday, and we'll talk about that next week, of course. But you can write to us, otw@2600.com, and maybe we'll read what you have to say.
Yes. Hey, can I just thank you for being a good co-host?
Thank you for being a good engineer and co-host.
Hey, good night, E.
Good night, Kyle.
See you next time.
Next time.
used to check out lyrics upon the format. Filled with skill, with technique, computer ADAT. My lyrical form is clouds on your brainstorm. I get hype, think, thought, flow, acrobat. Sync the track, pump the track, dance missions. Clubs, lights, phones, react by soul visions. And hurrying more reflects on the dance floor. Blowing up and having mad people showing up. Packing crowds, jam-packed venues. Needles collapse while atmospheres continue. Sprinkle that, winning like that, moving like that, hitting like that. The melody is fat, yo, I'm on the energy source. The cosmic force with prodigy, dipping astrology. My intellect's the power with diesel power. Blows your mind drastically, fantastically. 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 When spin back, rewind, diesel power. Blows your mind drastically, fantastically. It has to be automatically. Check it out, you better work it out. Change to another route. My techniques, strategies, abilities. I leave chords and mics hanging like spring leaves. Do a try so fast, beyond the human eye. Lyrical tactics, vocal gymnastics. Ease and pepped up, you get swept up. Smacked up, backed up, your crews all cracked up. Check it slow, pick, choose quick, you can't stick. My metaphor range is strangest angles. You get tangled, twist inside of fences. Channels repeat, complete, can't compete. Check the hour, texture, mind adventure. Exploit the point, enter tracks to devour. My intellects proceed with diesel power. Blows your mind drastically, fantastically. 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 Back attack the whack pack, you back to me. You don't want none, high quality action B. Still standing, damaging your other man in quick reverse, potent as the first verse. My amplifier blows on your world's higher, world sire, cuts like a barbed wire. Record play, I pull up on you every day. Fast forward, I move and I swing toward. Exit load, put your brain in right mode. Select and mix, the man will perfect and fix. Heads lightly, bite me, copy, Xerox, cock, hand blocks. You can't knock them out there. Uplifting, shifting, persistent, intelligent kingpin. Dipping astrology as I roll with prodigy. With diesel power. Blows your mind drastically, fantastically. Blows your mind drastically, fantastically.
Policing and immigration.
Blows your mind drastically, fantastically.
What would this look like if black
lives matter?
If black lives matter, I believe that policing and immigration enforcement would not be the devastating force that it is. The reality is that it's rampant and that we have theories that basically criminalize all of our communities and leave us
modern civilized.
Yeah, kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution until the 9 p.m. hour right here on WUSB Stony Brook. We're going to be speaking to Eleni Mandel in a very few minutes. I'm giving away some tickets to her Mercury Lounge show this Sunday night. Very, very special show. Sold out, I do believe. And we have some tickets for that in New York City. Plus, we're going to be talking to Michael Sheets, who just came back from Nepal helping out the earthquake victims over there, volunteering. And we'll talk to him about all that. And also, some tickets to see The Big Lebowski in Raising Arizona this Saturday night on 8-1. Stay tuned.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for Count Basie, Jimmy Rushing, and all of the other Kansas City kids. I have another listing here of a group that's coming up. It looks like these gentlemen live in the realm that Buck Rogers is trying to reach. We start with a couple of gentlemen you've heard before, Percy Heath, bass, and Connie Kay, drums of the Modern Jazz Quartet, and then we go on down to Miles Davis, trumpet. Miles Davis. Zoot Sims, tenor. And my very dear friend, the cool one, Jerry Mulligan. And the High Priest of Bop, the inimitable Thelonious Monk. Thank you, welcome. And here's for Tonal Zed.
Thank you. Tune written by Thelonious, entitled Hackensack.
Yeah, so while Thelonious Monk and Miles Davis and a whole bunch of other great all-stars are playing at Newport Jazz Festival that we're hearing, I'd like to give away some tickets right now to see something that may seem anathema to all that, but it all fits in. The Big Lebowski and Raising Arizona this Saturday night at the Cinema Arts Center at 10:30, double feature. Tickets right now, 631-632-6901. The Big Lebowski, Raising Arizona, big screen, Cinema Arts Center, Huntington, 10:30 this Saturday. Give me a call right now, 631-632-6901.
Thank you.